As we come to our passage in Luke chapter 8, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you speak to us in many ways. You speak to us through your word, through your Bible. And we pray, Lord, now that we would be open to hear what you have to say as your word is read. And pray that you would prepare us to apply this message to all of our lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to grow in your faith and become more mature in your faith? I'm not talking about being more mature as just an adult, you know, being responsible and, you know, making sure you're not shooting spitballs and doing those sorts of things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being mature as a Christian. How far do you have to go to be mature? Some of you might think, man, I got a long way to go. Others of you may think, I got a little way to go. Other people might think, well, I'm pretty much good. I'm there. I feel like I'm mature. Well, that was kind of a trick question because none of us are completely mature. The picture of complete maturity is Jesus. If you act exactly like Jesus all the time, then you're mature. So that pretty much excludes everybody when we say that. But when we look at Scripture, what does it mean to be mature? It means to be more and more Christ-like and less worldly. And there's a picture in Galatians 5 of what it looks like to be a mature Christian. And it talks about the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit comes into your life and starts changing you and starts producing character traits in you that may or may not have been there, attitudes, attributes. And here's the list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And think about that list for a second. We'll start with love. Love means being selfless, not selfish, selfless, and being committed and devoted. And not thinking about yourself first, thinking about others first. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. How selfless are you? How willing are you to care for other people, even at your own expense? Then you have joy. And I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness because you got a raise, or happiness because it's the weekend, or your team won, or those are temporary things. I'm talking about joy that stays, even when things go up and down. When life is hard, you're not jumping up and down, but you have this inner joy. And that brings me to the next one, peace. Do you always have joy and peace and not worry in the midst of every situation in life? Boy, I would like to be like that. I would like to be completely mature so that, you know, life throws you this curveball and you just say, that's okay. It's all right. I have this peace. You know, I may be able to handle situations better than I used to, but there's always room for growth. Patience. Patience when you get cut off on Route 2. Patience when the line at the checkout's really long and you're in a hurry. Patience with someone in your family who's just touched that nerve, that pet peeve that you have for the thousandth time. Patience. You know, goodness is another one. And it's not goodness as opposed to like being average and then good and then that's not what we're talking about. Goodness as opposed to evil. Do you do what is good and what's right? Or you do what's wrong? And self-control, self-discipline. Would you like to be more self-disciplined? Would you like to mature? Would you like to grow? I would. And I think that your spiritual growth depends a lot on who you listen to, what you listen to, and how you listen. And I've noticed that when you listen to certain people talk a lot, it affects you, it affects me. I notice when I drive around, I listen to different radio stations. Sometimes I listen to K-Love. Sometimes I listen to talk radio, politics or sports or whatever it is. And I've noticed that the people on the radio are very cynical. Have you noticed that? The people who call in are cynical, especially after the Red Sox lose. Very, very cynical. But I find that after a little while, I start to think like that. Then I start to think kind of negatively. And I'm, wait, that's not me. That's not how I want to think. You got to shut that off. What comes in affects you. And we choose who we listen to. My sister told me recently, she and her husband were buying a new GPS for their car. And, you know, the GPS that tells you which way to go, take a left and all that stuff. And my sister joked that they were going to have to buy one that had a male voice because she didn't think her husband would listen to a female's directions. So it had to have a male voice. We choose who we listen to, who we don't listen to. Maybe you say, I don't listen to anyone. I'm my own person. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I just do my own thing. But you know what? You are influenced. You're influenced by your parents, your family members, your bosses, your teachers, your coaches, your pastors, your friends. Everyone in life influences you. The TV, the radio, everything influences you. Otherwise, advertising wouldn't work, and companies wouldn't spend billions of dollars doing it. We are affected by what we hear, what we listen to, what we take to heart, whose voice we listen to. And it couldn't be more true of God. Because when you hear God, when you're open to God, and when you listen to God, and when you let His truth go down deep inside of you, His Spirit comes, takes up residence in your life, and changes you from the inside out. You know, I think, I hear sometimes pastors, you know, up telling people, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, and there's this big list of rules, or they'll say, don't go see this movie, that isn't right, you shouldn't go see this movie. But my experience has been, what happens when I tell someone don't do something? What do you want to do? You want to go see the movie, right? But that's not our goal. Our goal is to tell people about Jesus. His Spirit comes into your life, changes you from the inside out. That's what we're doing here. And so I want to read to you a passage today where Jesus talks about listening and hearing and how we hear. And this has everything to do with our spiritual growth, becoming more like Jesus. And it's in Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 4, and it's page 1023 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A parable is a story that teaches a lesson. Usually there's some sort of an analogy or a metaphor involved. Verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, if you think to the first time you read that, maybe that's the first time you've heard that, or you haven't read the rest of the chapter recently, you don't remember what Jesus has to say, you're wondering, what does this have to do with anything? Why is he giving us farming lessons? You know, what's going on? What's the point here? In the next two verses, the disciples come to him. It says, his disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." So what Jesus is saying here, it's really a judgment on the people. There are people who didn't want to listen to Jesus, so he said, you know what, I'm going to speak in parables. And the thing is, the people who got to hear the description or the explanation of the parable were the ones who came back to Jesus and said, "Jesus, we want to know the answer." These are the people that were hungry. The other people, they went away and they said, "Why is he talking about seeds?" and things like that. And then in the next verses, starting with verse 11, he gives the explanation of what the parable means. So this is what he says. "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." So there's two main ingredients that Jesus is talking about here. We have seeds and we have soil. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the truth. The seed is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message that Jesus came and lived for us. He died in our place and he rose again. If you believe in him, you have a relationship with him, you have eternal life. But it's also the whole Bible. The whole Bible is included. This is the truth. This is the Word of God, and it's powerful. And this is what Jesus is talking about. So the question I'll ask you today is, what kind of dirt are you? Because there's four different kinds of soil. And Jesus wants us to be the fourth kind. He doesn't want us to be the first three kinds. He wants us to be the fourth. But I'm going to go over these four different kinds of soil because they represent different people or different categories of people. The first one, he said, this is the seed that falls on the hard path. So I want you to imagine this. Imagine that this is a field and these pews are, say they're corn. Okay, everybody stand up straight. All right, these are corn here. And along the path, the farmer goes out and some of it lands in the path. And it gets trampled on, and the ground is really hard, and it just bounces off the path. And it doesn't take root. The birds take it away. Nothing ever happens with this. When I think about this kind of person, I think about this is the person who, when you tell them about God, it's like this. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know, doesn't even get in. They may hear it, but they're not listening. It's kind of like how you would treat a telemarketer, right? When a telemarketer calls a church, you know, they may, I don't even know what they're saying half the time, but they may say, hey, I'd like to deliver $1 million to you. Where do you live? And I could say, no, thanks, I'm all set. Because I'm not listening. I don't really care to listen. I have other things to do. That's how some people are with God. I've had it happen to me that I'll be talking to a person, and then they'll ask me, you know, what do you do for a living? And this is the big moment, because this could go one of two ways, usually. I'm a pastor. And you know what? Some people have had a really bad experience in the church, or they're angry with God about something, and all of a sudden, I'm the enemy. It's like, I don't really want to talk to you anymore. They're like this. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear anything. I somehow represent the church, so that's just what happens. They don't want to hear it. That's the first kind of person. The second kind is the seed that falls on rocky soil. Okay, it falls in, but it's hard to grow. It's hard to get something to grow. A couple summers ago, we had Peter and Matt take a rocky area around our trees. There was a lot of stone, and I said, well, take up the stone and, you know, carry the stone off. We want to plant some flowers in there. So they took out the stone, and I looked, and the ground was still full of stone. So I'm thinking, well, that didn't really accomplish anything. So I started to dig up the stones, and you know what happens? More stones come up, because we live in New England, and there's more stones, and there's more rocks. But what happens when you try to plant something in that? The roots can't go anywhere. There's no root structure. So what happens there is the plants, they don't take, they get knocked over, a wind comes, it's all over. They don't go deep into the ground. These are people that they hear about Jesus, and they say, yeah, I like the idea of Jesus. I like the idea of going to church. That sounds like a good thing. I get to hang around with people. I'll come to church. But in the passage, Jesus says, well, when times get tough, though, there really isn't anything strong there. They don't really want to stay. You know, I hear Christians in America sometimes lamenting about how hard it is to be a Christian. It really isn't hard to be a Christian in America compared to the rest of the world. You know, I can stand up here and legally pretty much say whatever I want every week. That doesn't happen in every country. You can come here. You can gather. You can assemble. Freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, freedom of religion. We have these freedoms here. We thank God for these freedoms that we have here. But this isn't true in other countries. This wasn't true in Jesus' day, in Paul's day, Peter's day. This wasn't true. So when difficulty came, for some people, the roots weren't deep enough. And they just got knocked over. It wasn't inside of them. There wasn't that relationship with Jesus, or if there was, it was very minimal. It's like the difference between being married to someone and being an acquaintance with someone. As a Christian, or as human beings, we have husbands, we have wives. That's a close relationship. And we would do anything to protect our husband or our wife. What about an acquaintance, though? Someone you just say hi to in the store. That's different. For some people, the relationship with Jesus is more of just an acquaintance. They're really not listening to everything he's saying. But that's not the kind of soil we're supposed to be. Then you have the third type of soil. And these are the soil that actually take root and the plant starts to grow. And I believe that these people are Christians. But what happens is they get choked out a little bit because there are thorns, or they get choked a lot. There are thorns around. And what I find interesting is that the things that Jesus is calling the thorns are the pleasures and riches of the world. People who get distracted by all the things in the world, and they make the things in the world more important than God. These are called thorns, and you think, well, that doesn't sound right. Does God just want us to be sad and not have any fun? No, he wants us to have life and have it to the full. Abundant life, Jesus says in John chapter 10. He wants us to have a full, a great life. But what about all these other things? Does that mean we have to give up anything that's fun? No. We just don't put this stuff above Jesus or even close to Jesus. He comes first. He is the one that we love above all things, and nothing else approaches that. And this verse is a message to the church in America, because we have so many distractions. There are so many different things pulling us in different directions. There are so many different things that we can look at. I think about technology. You know, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, died this past week. And they started listing the things that he invented and brought to the market. And I started thinking about the phone, the iPhone. Have you ever just stopped to think how far we've come? You can take a phone out of your pocket and take a picture with it. You can call someone. You can get on the internet and email or text somebody. You can take a video of someone and send it all over the world in moments. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that can distract us. I mean, this is just crazy. All the different things we have, and people will say, is technology good? Is technology bad? Well, I would say technology is bad when it becomes more important than God. Or anything becomes bad when it's more your hobby, your house, your car, whatever it is, your favorite thing becomes more important than God. Then that is bad. That chokes out your spiritual life. That keeps you from growing. Here's a gauge. If you're a sports fan, if you're not, this won't make any sense. But if you're a sports fan, how mad will you be today if the Pats lose to the Jets? How mad will you be after the game? How will you treat your spouse and your kids after the game? With love, joy, peace, and patience? Will the fruit of the... Do you see how it chokes you out? You know what? You know this. I'm a sports fan. You know this, but I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be the guy that, you know, uh-oh, the Pats lost, here comes Dad. You know, I don't want that. We don't want that for our families. But if anything is more important than God, that's trouble. That chokes you out. That's like thorns. You got to be careful of that. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to enjoy sports and recreation and hobby and things that are, that's great. But we don't want them to become more important than God. So finally, we come down to the fourth one. This is the good soil. This is the dark, rich soil that's full of nutrients. It's moist. It's ready to receive that seed and produce a huge plant and lots of fruit. That's how Jesus wants us to be. How can we be like this? That's just the analogy. How can we be like this? We can be open to God's word. We can be willing to hear and listen to what God says. We can be willing to do what God tells us to do over what we actually might desire to do. We're willing to take time to be with Him in prayer and in the Word on a regular basis. This is what God wants us to be. If you let this happen, God will produce fruit in your life. And here's another characteristic of this good soil. It produces fruit that produces seeds that produces more fruit. You multiply when this happens. You know, I was thinking about this as I was looking out at our garden. We have a garden, and at first we had a strawberry patch that was like 6 to 8 feet wide. And now it's 20 to 30 feet wide. And we didn't plan this. It just kept growing and growing and growing. I want to be like that strawberry patch. I want to tell people about Jesus, and so that those people will believe in Jesus. That's what a mature Christian does. They're willing to tell other people about this hope that they have. They're willing to tell people how wonderful Jesus is. They're willing to produce fruit. And I find it interesting that the next passage says this, verse 16, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar and puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. We are meant to share the seed. And the seed is powerful. The seed is the message about Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And produce more plants that produce more fruit. That's what we're told to do. Let me give you an example of this. I was leading a Bible study in a juvenile detention center 10, 15 years ago. And I went in there one night and I said, here's what I'm going to do. And it was a group of boys. They had drug and alcohol addictions in addition to having committed crimes. And I was going to go in and I'm just going to tell them about Jesus and give them an opportunity to believe in him, accept him as Lord and Savior. I had it all planned out. I had all the right verses. I knew what I was going to say. I went in there and I told them. And I gave them the seed. And you know what happened with those boys? Nothing. They all kind of, they were the hard path. It all just bounced off. And as we were leaving, I'm thinking, you know what? You blew it. You didn't do it right. You missed some major point. You didn't pray enough. There's something wrong with me because obviously these boys didn't accept it. And as we were walking out, this woman comes up to me. She was a caseworker who worked in the building, and she had been sitting in the back of the room, and she came up to me, and she said, you know what? Tonight I put my faith in Jesus. And I was thinking, I wasn't aiming for you. Give it back. You know, I wasn't, you weren't in my crosshairs there. What a wonderful thing, though. And she went on to tell me that her brother had been telling her about God and about Jesus. You know what she was? She was soil. She was good soil that was just open and ready to hear. And I had no idea. So the point I'm making is make sure you're scattering seed because you never know. You never know who's listening. You never know who might be ready. You never know who might need that word from you. You know, even if you're already a Christian, it's good to share those good words because sometimes I've said something to someone and said, how did you know I was struggling with that? I didn't. Just keep spreading God's word. It goes deep into people. And you don't know if a person is ready. You don't know if they're hard soil or soft, moist soil. You don't know the difference. But getting back to you and me and our response to Jesus. How do you hear? How do you listen? How does this equate? How does this equate to us in our lives? Well, here's what I'd like to encourage you to do. Make time for God. Make time for Jesus. You're doing it right now. You're here. But during the week, you know, we have time for lots of stuff. We have time for our kids. We have time to shower. We have time to eat. We have time for our favorite TV show. We certainly should have time for the Creator of the universe. Take time to be with him. Listen to him by reading his word. Listen to him as you go to him in prayer. Take time to do this. Because it changes who you are and it makes you more mature as a Christian when you do this. You're having trouble with love, joy, peace, and patience? Spend more time with the Lord. Be that soil that's open to him. Don't be the soil that's so busy that you don't have time for him. Remove some of the distractions out of your life, the rocks and the thorns. Remove those things out of your life, or at least for a brief moment, remove them for long enough so that you can spend time with him and you can hear the truth from him. And I love what it says in the next passage. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now some people hear that, look at that passage and they say, you know what, Jesus should have been nicer to his family. He was being rude to them because they were waiting outside. But that's not what he was saying. Here's the point in all of this. When you hear what Jesus says, when you hear the truth, you absorb it into your life, you apply it to your life, and you put it into practice, you have faith in him, you are part of his family. You are as good as one of his brothers or his mother or anyone else who's part of his family. And that is a beautiful thing. That's Christian maturity, having a relationship with Jesus. Having this close relationship with Jesus. So it all depends on who you listen to and how willing you are to listen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you change us when we have a hard time trying to change ourselves. We thank you that you come into our lives. You make us better. You make us more like yourself. Lord, I pray that we would be open to listen to you, to hear what you have to say, and to apply your truth to our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.